Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. Going to tell you what's going on this weekend at the Comedy Castle here in a second. It's a big week with Kyle Kinane, who is a name that if you've been a comedy fan, really for the last maybe 15 years, I was looking up some Kyle Kinane articles from 2011, seeing where his life was there and what he's been up to. Really a comics comic. And really a legend, really a recent legend of live stand-up comedy. It's really fun to have Kyle back at the club. It's been a few years. But let's tell you, we'll start on Wednesday with open mic night. That's your mixture of professionals and amateurs all doing about five-minute sets. It's always a good time at open mic night. That's at 7:30. You can call for a reservation if you got a bigger group. If not, just show up. Cheap tickets. Good night out. Open mic night, getting you eased in. After Labor Day here. And then this weekend with Kyle Kinane, the name of the tour is It's Not a Tour, It's the Job. That's what he's talking about. And Kyle is so funny. Great openers, too. Nicole Melnick's going to be emceeing, who has been on a lot of our shows in the last year or so. And then Jake Silberman returns as the feature act. Jake, out of New York City, I believe he did some guest spots last year, sometime in 23. But he's back. Now featuring Jake Silberman, great comic. So should be a great week. Again, we got those shows Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on the 5th. Friday the 6th, two shows at 7:15 and 9:45. And then 7 p.m. and 9:30 on Saturday night with Kyle Kinane. Come see one of those five shows. You're going to laugh your ass off. Guy's great. Love Kyle. Big fan of his stuff. And excited to have him at the club. Yeah, I wish he was on this show, but he's not. I tried. I sent the emails. But anyway, I'm not holding it against him. This is going to be a great weekend. But I do have a guy named Kevin Lapine on the show. You guys remember Kevin Lapine, Hypnosis Unleashed, sort of the annual tradition with Kevin. Yeah, he told me this is the 17th annual Hypnosis Unleashed at the club. And that's coming up on Tuesday, September 24th. But we thought we'd get you a little hype, give you some extra time to fill that room. As we usually, it's usually quite a busy night, you know, Tuesday night. Have several hundred out there for Hypnosis Unleashed. And it's a fun night. You know, people come out, they volunteer, they come out of the audience, they go on stage. They're not all picked. They're not all picked to be the volunteers in the show. Some of them aren't doing what he kind of says, but there's way more people that want to be on stage and be part of this hilarious hypnosis show than actually get the opportunity to do it. So people will come every year, and they want to be either a part of it or they just want to see how funny it is, and it is a riot. You'll hear Kevin and I talking about some of the highlights of the show. And really how the show has evolved into being, as Kevin describes it, a party on stage. That's what he does. He'll talk about why he's different than other hypnosis acts that you maybe have seen. You'll hear him talk about the state of the Vegas entertainment and how that has changed over the years. You'll hear him tell us about, you know, the hypnotists that he studied coming up and why he's different than them. He gives me some marriage advice. So we talk about Kevin and his wife, Emily, who helps him through that show and does a great job. And he also gives us tech advice. Tech advice. You want to play music, comics? You want to incorporate some music, some multimedia? Well, Kevin has figured out a way to do it, and he will tell you as much about it as he can in a podcast like this. And we also talk about the great opener that night, Kara Karachi, one of my students. Very proud of Kara. We love Kara. All right, let's just get into it. Let's throw it over to Kevin Lapine. We'll come back. We'll talk some more, hype some more about his show, Kyle Kinane. Come back right after this one. Listen to this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what a pleasure to have back on this show a guy that, I don't want to do this every time you're here, but recap your history with this show, with Tom, with me, but yeah, you know, this has become a tradition of us. You are a tradition at the Comedy Castle every fall. Kevin Lapine, Hypnosis Unleashed. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back on, and I really appreciate it.
Yes, you've been a real highlight over the years.
Thank you. It's, you know, I was figuring it out. We've been doing this now for almost 20 years. I think this is like the 17th or 18th year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I actually just consider that a huge, huge compliment that you guys are willing to bring me back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's where I started. So I've got probably the biggest crush on that stage that I have of any stage anywhere.
So how much of what you're doing currently, you were doing the show at the Comedy Castle before a Vegas run?
Yes. Okay. Yep. I started doing the Comedy Castle a few years before I ended up moving to Vegas and having that all take off. I've been in Vegas now for 14 years.
That's great too.
Yeah. The fact that, you know, not just able to do the show, but keep the show up and running through all the ups and downs and craziness of Vegas. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic, man. I mean, for anything, you know, that's one of my questions I wrote down for you is how is Vegas? This is what I hear about Vegas now. And you tell me, as far as entertainment goes, it's a lot of like rock and roll residencies.
So Vegas goes through so many different shifts. You know, if it's kind of weird, like I can run through the entire history of Vegas just by going, well, it started with the Rat Pack.
Okay.
Then you had the stand up comics. Then you had the showgirls. Then you had the magicians. Then you had Cirque. Then you. And now we're in the sports era of Vegas.
Yeah. Okay.
But along with that, Vegas is now trying to be the entertainment center for the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of your major sporting events will be there and all of your major concerts are going to be there in some way, shape or form. It's not just like the old, wow, this guy was famous 40 years ago for his one hit. And now he's got a 3-month Vegas residency. No, I mean, we've got real nonstop headliners.
Yeah. But does that make it harder on sort of, you know, the traditional sort of the variety acts that you sort of associate with Vegas? Are they getting pushed out in favor of, you know, songstresses, or is that happening?
So here's where I get to sound like the grumpy old man.
Please do. And as a grumpy old man,
complaining about my era.
Yeah.
No, I think the problem that we're having now is because we brought in so much of a sports town. Especially with things like F1, Vegas has really, really tried to cater to high-end players for that. Mm. And because of that, it's not the value destination it used to be.
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem with Vegas right now, is it's not a value destination. It's a pretty pricey destination, but they're already doing things to correct that and letting people know that, no, Vegas is fun on any budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's good to know that if I go out to Vegas, I don't need to drop a ton of money to see something good.
You know, you really don't. You can still find great shows under $50. You can find hotel rooms that won't cost you an arm and a leg, or you can pay $10,000 to be front row at Adele and, you know, pay $3,000 a night to be, you know, at the suite in the Bellagio. Totally whatever you want to do. That's also why I love being downtown Vegas. Okay. I love being at the Four Queens the weirdest thing is the first time I ever went to Vegas, I stayed at the Four Queens. I remember walking past the showroom and going, man, if I could just play there.
Yeah.
Which tells you, dream bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, I should have said that walking through the Bellagio, but I am thrilled.
Just so happy.
I am thrilled being at the Four Queens. I mean, they've been such a great partner for the show. And I've got Mike Hammer, who's a comedy magician, does the 7 o'clock show. I do the 9 o'clock show. And the great thing is, you know, Mike and other comics, they'll come, they'll watch the show. And, you know, we'll talk for hours after going, ooh, what about this moment? Mm-hmm. What about that moment? And it's great because Vegas, I'm surrounded by so much talent.
Yeah.
And what's great in Vegas is if you want to be an act that grows and achieves, you have such a great system around you of people who can't wait to sit down at the diner and talk all night. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine that camaraderie that you got in Detroit with like the open micers.
Sure, yeah.
And the ones and the semi pros, the ones who are turning pro, and that group that always gets together. But now imagine that that group can include people who've been headlining for 5, 10, 15 years in an area.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I always hear about the fraternity of you know, the Las Vegas entertainers. And of course, when we lost Jonathan, I know that the get together that you were part of, yep. and we talked to you on that day and stuff, that really makes you feel good that people get along and people get help each other.
And the reason everybody gets along in Vegas, one thing I love about Vegas is if you have an attitude problem, if you think that you're big enough to have an attitude problem, I promise you the casino is big enough to get rid of you and hire somebody just as strong as you without the attitude problem.
Right.
it's amazing to me how many acts have shown up in town with this attitude or chip on their shoulder. And you just watch entertainment directors go, yeah, no.
So Vegas is going well. We've summed it up.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
Nice. All right, well, let's get into your show, Comedy Castle, because this is a thing that people ask me about, maybe more than most of the shows at the club. You know, they'll see we have your postcards displayed prominently at the entrance at the Comedy Castle, and people will pick those up and they'll say to me, how is this? I sort of have an interest in, this sort of entertainment and hypnosis. I've always wanted to see a show like this, and I completely recommend the show. Then you come. Absolutely, come. You'll have a blast. I don't know if it'll answer their question as to what they saw, which is what they asked me after. And I go, I don't know that I can answer that after seeing it as many times as I have. But as far as a night out, it's as good as it gets.
As weird as it sounds, we've just been talking about marketing my show in Vegas. And one thing that's come up over and over and over in the reviews we get for the show and everything else is it's a fun interactive party.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the feedback that I've been getting more and more,
right.
is you know, it's not a traditional hypnosis show where it's, you know, people feel they have to be quiet and watch, you know, these one or two little things happen. There's a lot going on in it, and it's fun and it's interactive, and everybody gets to participate on whatever level they want to participate on. So yeah, it's kind of funny, but lately we've been talking about the idea of, you know, Hypnosis Unleashed, the show that is Vegas's favorite party.
Nice.
And I love bringing that energy. I love watching people interact, and, you know, I mean, just bringing the best out of people on stage and letting them have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember last year during your show, turning to, I think Bill was working with me that night, whoever was working with me at the door that night, I remember turning to them, I think it was Bill, and saying, it is so loud in here, this crowd. Mm-hmm. I mean, comedy, you know, people laugh and it gets loud and it dies down, and it was unbelievable, just the noise that these people were making at a point in the show. It was something else, man.
Well, that also comes from the fact that so there's a hypnotist I blame for this problem, and his name is Terry Stokes.
Oh, okay.
And what I blame him for, because he was so influential in the world of hypnosis, is he always loved Dean Martin. Mm-hmm. And so in a lot of ways, his stage persona emulated Dean Martin. Okay. And because, like, so many hypnotists tried to rip Terry off, so many hypnotists emulated Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love Dean Martin. I love the Rat Pack. I love the vaudeville era. But I grew up in the punk clubs, man. I was at HX. I was at Lily's. Yeah. I was at Harpo's. I was at, you know, the Gold Dollar, all of those. My heroes were the Ramones. My heroes were the Dropkick Murphys. You know, the guys who went out there every night and bled for it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, God, if everybody wants to be Dean Martin, I'm going to go out there and be Joey Ramone. I'm going to kick this thing into a party. Hell, if I could have a pit in the front row, we would do it.
So So describing this sort of traditional act, would you call it the, how would you describe the persona of these guys?
I mean, you know, the traditional hypnotist act, you almost imagine like this creepy professor.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's going to, you know, have somebody cluck like a chicken or, you know, I never liked that image.
Yeah.
I wanted the image of hypnosis to be, this is going to be fun. This is going to be engaging. If you volunteer, I'm going to bring out the best of you and you're going to look like a star up there on stage. Right. You know, you're going to look great. Everybody after the show is going to want to go, wow, how did it feel doing that? Mm-hmm. And you're going to be excited to tell them.
Yeah.
But, you know, also I wanted my audience to be part of it as well. You know, my audience really gets to drive that, the show.
Yeah. Yeah. The audience, they come and now the people that come, you know, annually, and we know that's a lot of folks that come every year. They're very loyal to you. They look forward to that and they look forward to, do you think they look forward to just reliving what they saw? Do they want to see some new wrinkles? Or, you know, it's different. I know it is different enough that you can watch it multiple
times. Yeah. I mean, we're always adding. We're always changing. We're always figure out, you know, what can we do in this moment? And I'm lucky because every night I have 5 or 6 different writers with me.
Okay.
Because they're my volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I get 5 strangers to volunteer or I keep 5 strangers up there on stage every night to do the show with. And every night, one of those 5 is going to do something where I'm like, oh my God, I never thought of that.
Nice.
Oh, how can I make that happen again? And when, you know, when you're doing 250 shows a year in Vegas and you get that moment every night, you start going, oh, well, okay, let's lean into this. Let's lean into that. You know, plus also the other great thing about doing 250 shows a year is you come up with this great idea, right? This beautiful, beautiful idea. And after 5 shows, you go, well, that was stupid and I'm never doing that one again.
I've said that about my jokes sometimes. Yeah.
Yep. Man, that sounded great on paper.
Absolutely. I was driving in my car. Awesome. It sounded great.
Yeah, in my car, that was awesome. And my notebook is hilarious. Yeah. Live crowds hate that. This joke would be hilarious if it wasn't for the audience every night.
Yeah, that's great, man. So you're taking things that happen spontaneously and sort of making that sort of getting people going in that direction for that to happen again.
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah.
Because also, you know, doing what I do, you know, I'll say on the count of 3, you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I do forget that they're under. So they're not thinking as quickly. Yeah. And they're on stage. So they're nervous. So they're not thinking as quickly. And they've been in Vegas for a few days. So they're not thinking as quickly. So I'll get misunderstood.
Yeah.
But that misunderstanding, you know, it has led to so many fun moments.
Right. Oh, yeah. And the audience, when you say, hey, do this, and the guy does something else, it's funny.
It is. You know, or you know, like at one point, it was at one point I was doing a show last week and this woman's name was, you know, whatever. But I told her, you're going to lie about your name from this point on every time I ask you. Well, the woman sitting next to her was Marianne. So then I went up to the woman and go, what's your name? She went, Ginger. And every time I talked to Marianne first, this woman's name was Ginger, and she wouldn't stop it from being Ginger. Yeah. And I finally went, oh my God, we've got Gilligan's Island up here. Every time the one woman said Marianne, the other woman couldn't stop thinking about the name Ginger. I'm like, that is hilarious.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there've been so many weird fun moments like that. You know, like I'll tell them that, you know, I'm naked from the back and I, you know, and you know, I've got the most spankable booty ever. And we had one guy, professional rugby player.
Oh boy.
He didn't spank me. He grabbed me, bear hugged me from behind and was just bouncing me up and down on his lap. And we're talking a huge pro rugby player. And so, like, Emily is, you know, banging on this guy's shoulder, going, let him down, let him down, let him down, let him down. All I had to do was say was sleep.
Yeah.
But I'm getting ragdolled. The audience is laughing their ass off. Well, I'm like, this is going to hurt, but I don't care. This is hilarious.
Yeah, right. That's amazing, man. That's you talk about Emily. Let's talk about Emily's importance to the show. Because, boy, I tell you, I think I've seen Emily's evolution, you know, only seeing the show once a year to how much she does and how important she is. Talk about your wife, Emily, and what she really brings to the show as your assistant.
Oh, my God, so much. And actually, we've just wrote a whole new opening for her that's been just crushing it. You know, she's gone through the hypnosis classes, so she understands. Yeah. She keeps everybody safe. She's watching people in a way that I can't watch.
Yeah, you're looking forward and they're behind you. And so she's really taking care of everybody.
And she is just so responsible for doing so much and just making it even more fun.
Yeah.
You know, because we can really keep an eye on everybody and make sure that they're safe. Mm-hmm. In fact, she didn't even start playing violin until she, you know, her and I were together for a while. And she went, you know, hey, I think it'd be cool to play the violin at this point in the show. Do you think that sounds stupid? I'm like, no, I'll take piano lessons with you. If you want to do something to grow, let's do it. Yeah. And so she learned to play violin just so she can play in the show.
Nice.
And she's also, I mean, she's also the lead in the show Marriage Can Be Murder here in Las Vegas. Okay. So she does that 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. And she just started last year, a couple of years ago, she came up with a fairy godmother character. Mm-hmm. She wrote a book about a fairy godmother, became that fairy godmother character, and is doing elementary school shows where she found a way to teach kids about negative self-talk, about, you know, how we have this voice in our head that sometimes says bad things about us and how to reframe that.
Right.
And the fact that my wife is that amazing. I mean,
she is.
I am so fortunate.
Good for you, man. I got news for you. I don't know if you know, I'm getting married next year. So
congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Does the other person know?
Yeah, she's aware.
good, even better.
I did ask her, but she does know. But is there anything that I should know about? I mean, I see, you know, these married couples, or one of the couple comes up on stage with you and then they leave and have this great night together. And potentially, I don't want to ruin the show. But what could give me a piece of advice to deal with this new marriage?
So I've been married for 8 years.
Yeah.
Here's the advice that I give people. Mm-hmm. First, at your wedding, you and your wife each need a personal bouncer.
Okay.
You need to each pick one friend who can pull you out of conversations.
Interesting. Okay.
Otherwise, somebody's third cousin twice removed is going to pin you in a corner and kill your night.
Okay. All right. So this is
Pick one friend. Pick one friend who can just come up to you after you've been trapped with somebody for 5 minutes. You need that one friend who can just come up and tap you on the shoulder and go, "Oh, hey, Joel, the kitchen's on fire. We need you over here."
Okay.
And just someone who can get you out of that conversation.
I could see that happening. Yeah. Okay.
And then as far as the marriage, two things.
Mm.
First, if both of you are deluded enough to believe you're the lucky one, fantastic.
Okay.
And so this one's going to be weird, because now I'm going to give you the advice that's the opposite of most of the advice you'll hear.
Okay. I'm ready.
She's not your friend, dude.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, me and my friends, we rip on each other all the time.
Yeah.
She's not my friend. She's my wife. I will never say anything disrespectful to her or to tear her down. The world will try to tear her down. It is my job in our house to make sure I'm always building her up.
Nice.
And she does the same for me.
I like that.
And especially with performers, mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake we make, is because with our friends, we can say things that, you know, to an outsider sound really vicious. That's not what you do for your wife.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, she's not a performer, so I might get away with a little bit of that. Yeah, yep. I think that's good too. I've dated comedians and other dancers and other actresses.
Yep.
They're not the best, you know.
No, and it's funny, but just before Emily and I started dating, I had a vow that I would never date somebody with a professional headshot ever again.
I like that.
But nope, she proved me wrong.
She did. There you go. You got a good one.
Yeah.
All right, man.
And also, I mean, you know, in last year, I've been really fortunate. I finally got the book out.
Yes. Tell everybody about that and where they can get it.
So deep into my eyes, you can go to deepintomyeyes.com. It's my story about how I overcame bullying and really dark thoughts to building a community and growing to where I am now.
Yeah.
And nice. Then, I mean, one of the big cappers to that is, the Sunday before the show, so Sunday the 22nd, the Michigan Hypnosis Conference is presenting me an achievement award.
Nice.
So that's terrific. I'm really, really looking forward to all of that. So
it's going to be a fun trip back to Michigan for you.
Great.
And we'll Tuesday night, the 24th. So
yes, Tuesday the 24th, and we've got Kara opening for me, which. So, I mean, not only is she like, I think she was the 2023 winner of like the Metro Detroit up and coming comics.
I'm not sure. She was one of my comedy students, though. She took my class. So I'm Kara Karachi. Yeah.
Yep. And this is going to sound really weird, but she has been on my radar for probably a good, 5 to 7 years. I mean, how long have you known her?
Gosh, she must have. Well, I started teaching my class 10 years ago. I'd say I've known her for 8 or 9 years. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so probably 6 or 7 years she's been on my radar because, for lack of a better word, her uncle, like dad's best friend, right?
Okay, yeah.
So her uncle was one of the guys who started hiring me in the world of magic, John Vitarelli, when I was a teenager.
Interesting.
And he had always been, just a great, great influence. And probably about 7 years ago or so, he's like, hey, my basically like my niece, goddaughter is starting to do comedy. And, I've been waiting for the timing to work and everything else to have her open for the show. So I'm really excited for that.
That'll be great. She's so funny. And she's I think she'd be doing more in comedy, but she's a big shot in the automotive industry too, Carol.
Oh yeah.
It's
a great win when you watch somebody combine all of those kind of skills. Yeah. I mean, for those of you listening who are like, gee, I wonder if I should get into comedy. It looks like it's kind of fun, but it also looks like it's a waste of time. It is the most amazing career building skill.
Yeah.
For any career, because as soon as you are comfortable standing up in the front of a room full of strangers and delivering 5 minutes of comedy, everything else is easy.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the experience of doing it. But here's the thing I also tell people that come to like my comedy class. If you're coming from a job where you do speak in front of people, where you do stand up, and that could be anything from a teacher to an insurance salesman to whatever, those people, I had a rock singer a couple classes ago. Guy sang in a rock band for years, and the guy was fantastic on stage. There's something about that performing thing that when you get it and you're good at it, it really can transfer to the next.
And it opened so many doors. I've got a friend of mine who got a call. He's a magician, and here was the call. Hey, what's your maximum fee? Well, it depends what you want me to do. No. What's your maximum fee? Well, my maximum fee is this because I bring blah, blah. They're like, okay, fine. We'll hire you. It's like, well, okay, I'll bring all. No. We're doing an awards banquet for our company.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to MC it. We don't want you to do magic. Right. We just want you to MC because people are that afraid of public speaking.
Right.
So when you develop that skill of being able to speak comfortably in public, you've just given yourself a significant raise.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. You do comedy.
So everybody listening to this, take the course if you haven't. Get it into your system because it's the biggest life. It's one of the biggest life-building skills.
Yeah, you do such a great job. I want to give you a compliment here, and you don't have to give away anything here.
Mm-hmm.
But I complimented a comedian was talking to me about using music in the show. And I said, well, there's ways of doing it. We do it here at the club. It's a little, you know, because when we, if somebody wants to come out to music or they play a song in the middle, we do it. And it's kind of like it's playing off my phone sometimes. Sometimes we're using like a YouTube file on a computer. We don't have a really slick system. And I say, you got to come see Kevin Lapine. And the way that he integrates music, and I know a lot of, you know, this is like a Vegas thing or more of a pro thing. You use music and it's seamless and nobody, and I my understanding is you control the whole thing. Nobody knows you're controlling it, and it sounds incredible. And again, you don't have to give anything away, but it is a real, and it adds so much to the show.
So now let's talk in industry a little bit for a second.
All right,
So comics, starting comics, any comics who are looking to incorporate sound, Pegasus Lighting and Supply on 8 Mile.
They do our stuff.
David and Kevin. You guys have been they've been working with me since I was 19.
Nice.
When you want to add sound, when you want to get your own microphone, it's not Guitar Center, man. Pegasus, they will sit you down. They'll go through these things. They'll show you this does this, this does this, this opens this possibility. And they'll teach you how to use the equipment.
There you go.
You know, and it's important. And if you're going to have, so the great thing is there are so many different ways now to run technology that you can find what works for you and make it happen.
Yeah.
But go get the equipment from pros.
There you go.
Let them teach you. Yeah. Let them show you.
Right. Because otherwise you're going to be at the mercy of you go to the club and who's the guy running that stuff. Come to the Comedy Castle. It's me in most cases. And I'm pretty smart and I can do most stuff, but you never know where you're going.
I had to get in control of my music after a show I did, and this was many, many, many years ago, where after the show, I was in a violent rage, and the club sound guy said, and I quote, well, I didn't know you wanted all of those cues.
I've been there, and I've been there with guys who say to me, I got, you know, 12 cues and they're all in, and I said, well, was this in the writer? Was this stuff that we could have prepped for? And sometimes it isn't. But as a tech guy, when you come into town, I never touch anything. I don't have to touch the mics. I don't have to touch anything. Maybe the pre-show music a little bit. I don't know.
If you want to build a career and you're incorporating stuff like that, then you've got to not only be able to do it, but in my mind, and I've always said this, I always try to be one of the easiest acts people work with. So I've got to make sure I'm self-contained. I've got to make sure I can adapt to any stage. I've got to make sure all of these things work 100% of the time, not just for me, but for the club. Because if I don't do it properly, then not only do I look bad, but people walk out of a club going, wow, this place is really cheap.
When
the problem is, you know, the performer didn't know how to do the technology. So I thankfully with Emily we found ways to make that just so simple.
But it's great because you can, I feel like you can take your show anywhere and it'll sound like Vegas, it'll sound like the Comedy Castle or any you know, big venue you want to put out there, you know.
It's huge when you do it right. And the only person who's going to get you to do it right is you. That's one of the downfalls in our industry is, you know, everybody starting in comedy just believes they'll wake up one day with an hour. Or they'll just wake up one day and this will be polished.
It takes time. You got to learn.
It takes time. It takes time. And you just have to come up with the decision that I'm going to make this look professional. I'm going to do this right.
I agree. That's all great advice, man. Love it.
Yeah, I try.
Great advice. Well, you're doing it.
Congratulations on the upcoming wedding. Now,
thank you,
sir. Amazing.
Yeah, it's in the spring, so we got a little bit of time still. But yeah, man, I'm getting up there. Get the first one out of the way.
Enjoy it and have
thank
fun with it.
Friend. Well, listen, I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks here. And,
sounds good. I'll see you on the 24th.
I feel like I've worked, as long as I've been on the staff, I think I've worked everyone, and I make sure to tell the management, make sure I'm working Hypnosis Unleashed.
Thank you so much, man. It's always great having you there.
Thanks for talking, Kevin.
Talk to you soon, brother.
Bye-bye. All right. Nice job, Kevin. Always fun having Kevin. And he was part of the amazing Jonathan when he passed away and we did the retrospective. Kevin talked to us on the day of his memorial that Kevin was organizing with the fraternity of Vegas entertainers that I brought up. And we don't like to maybe mention that in every interview because it's kind of sad. But Kevin did a great job eulogizing his friend, Amazing Jonathan. Look for that show over on ComedyCastlePodcast.com. That was a Tom McCarthy hosted joint that we put together for that week. But yeah, great talk with Kevin. Again, that show coming up Tuesday, September 24th at 7:30 p.m. Again, ComedyCastle.com. I'll have your tickets. And for all the shows this week, Kyle Kinane, Thursday to Saturday, 5 shows. Come see Kyle, one of the best in the business for sure. He's visiting us again. Doesn't happen every year. We get Kyle maybe every 3, 4, 5 years. So it's really super great to have him come out. We've also got my next advanced comedy class. Still looking for students. If you want to be part of the advanced comedy class, we got space for you. Call the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900 to be a part of the next advanced comedy class. If you've got a little comedy experience, you've done the beginner class with Bill Bichard, or you've just been out there doing your thing and you want to take your comedy to the next level, take your career to the next level, or just start your career. You're not making money in comedy. You're doing open mics. How do I make that transition? That's what the advanced comedy class is about, and we will be starting that one up this Saturday, September 7th. All right? So again, be part of that. What can I say? Hey, it's great to be back. Hope you had a great holiday. Kyle Kinane this weekend, Kevin Lapine in a few weeks. Great stuff coming up this fall at the Comedy Castle. We'll get you out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.